Okay, now that we have all of the materials here, including the three hosts, I think we can start up episode 91 of the Fancy Ramen Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Scott.
I'm the other one, Cookie.
And I'm Neil. Is Cookie's recording, I take it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, I hope so.
I should
Well,
probably.
anyway, what have you guys been up to?
I got a 3D printer that came in the mail yesterday.
That looks like a police siren or police light.
Oh God, did I freeze?
No, I don't think you did. I think it was just Scott.
Oh,
that's
no.
so weird. It's usually you, Neil.
I know.
Yeah.
Freeze. It's the police. That's what happened to Scott right now. He's getting swatted.
Swatted.
Well, so
Oh.
this is part of your downsizing, right?
Yeah. As you can see in the background of my video image that we're not actually recording, the old 3D printer still is here. It is on Craigslist. I've gotten about two different hits on it so far. Just waiting for one of these people to pull the trigger. So then I can just replace the large ass XYZ DaVinci 1.0 printer with the new Spark Maker, which is an SLA printer rather than a, oh God, I forgot what the words are. Acronyms. It does resin-based printing instead of using plastic extruder and filaments.
So are the majority of questions you're getting asking about if you can make gun parts with it?
No. Actually, both things have been from different companies, like people looking to buy a 3D printer for their business.
What kind of company is interested in having a 3D printer? Is it just for like making small prototypes then, I wonder?
So one sounds like it is for just making small prototypes. The other one, they do molds. They do casting and molds. So they're like, well, if someone needs a mold of like only like 10 things, it's a lot cheaper for them to just print it out of plastic, then make the mold,
That
and
makes sense.
then reproduce it that way rather than having the entire like actual molding process. They were just like, it makes it a lot cheaper if they have like a 3D printer. So I was like, okay.
That print isn't that smooth though, right? Like,
It's not that smooth, but they can, I was giving them tips on how to like finish the actual print itself.
okay.
Because I was like, no, it's not.
Like you have to file it down afterwards?
So I suggested actually throwing wood putty over it, like wood filler, coating it in like wood filler, or using the or you can throw it in acetone for a little bit. That'll like melt the plastic, but not deform it enough to actually, it'll melt and smooth it out basically. Because
Right.
if you sand it too much, then you'll actually, it's kind of hollow in the middle unless you build it, unless you make it like 100%
Relatively thick,
dense.
yeah.
And at that point, you're not saving money on the print. So yeah, so if you file it too much, then it will, it'll just kind of, you'll be seeing through the middle of it. I can't use words. But yeah, excited about the new printer. God, what else have I been doing? Got into Magic the Gathering. That's changed.
Oh, so you've played Magic before.
Yeah. Now I've got like a Planeswalker deck.
Which means nothing to me in my level of experience. How about you, Neil?
Planeswalker, is that like the green element?
And white?
Nah. Well, my deck actually happens to be green and black, but the Planeswalkers is like it's a permanent summon that you can have in the game that gives you special abilities. It's like a captain type card. So if you ever played the Magic the Gathering online or on any of the consoles, that's what they're doing now. It's weird. One of my coworkers, a couple of my coworkers got into it, so I was like, well, I'll join you guys for the during the community day that they had yesterday for Pokemon. Caught a few Pokemon, played some Magic the Gathering. It was nice. It's a good time. It's about all I've been doing lately. How about you guys?
Well, before we change real quick, I was just going to ask, do you like follow the lore at all? Like, because it seems like with each major expansion or pack that they do, usually a set of like stories comes out too, right?
Yes. And to answer your first question, no. For I literally just got into this yesterday.
Oh, okay. So you weren't into it like in its earlier iterations.
No, I played back in high school and middle school. And then just dropped off the face of the world of Magic the Gathering besides the, like, I think there was a game that, a Planeswalker game that came out on the Xbox 360 that kind of got me back in for a second, and then that was it. So no, I don't keep up with the lore at all. Still fun to play. So what you guys been up to?
Go ahead, Neil.
Well, I got back from my business trip, and that means my off season is kind of beginning, aside from maybe a few little projects here and there. But I took a nosedive into K-pop yesterday with Tiffany, and that was a strange journey, and one that borderlines like insanity at times.
Did anything in particular bring it out?
Well, as we talked about before the podcast, it was kind of stemmed on by the music video that they released from League of Legends called KDA, or is the band's name, quote unquote, and the song is called Pop Stars, or Pop Star, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, they credit the actual artists, too. Not that I'm going to remember them, but they released this as sort of like a skin campaign for four characters, Ari, Akali, Kaisa, and Evelyn. Just like the weird dancing and stuff that happens in that video, the high level of production, this was made clear to me that this is like basically K-pop. So I watched some K-pop, including some EXO, and that's the only group that actually stays with me from my exploration into the genre. But K-pop is equal parts scary and impressive, I guess I would say. Do either of you guys like watch or listen or take part in K-pop or any sort of Korean music?
Not at all.
Yeah, every once in a while, but it's quite literally nothing like, oh, I'm obsessed with this band. Right now, I think my band right now, I don't think they're a K-pop band. Oh, God. They're Made Something.
Is it like baby metal?
Kinda. Band Made. Well, that makes more sense. They've got some pretty good music.
This,
but they're also Japanese.
This looks like baby metal. I was hoping you were going to say Made in Heaven and turn it into a JoJo reference.
I don't watch JoJo. I do watch Gundam again, but yeah.
Oh,
which Gundam?
We got to talk about that. Like, what series? Is it part of the UC timeline?
Yeah, so Unicorn.
Dude, Unicorn is good.
Wait, if I wanted to get into Gundam anime, I need to look for UC timeline stuff?
Not necessarily. There's a lot, like, UC is the Universal Century. It's like the main timeline, the canonical, like, not everything, but like a lot of the most popular content happens in this timeline. And all of the one-offs or things like Gundam Seed all take place in alternate timelines. Alternate
I don't know,
realities.
Man. I'm a real big fan of, oh God, what was the first Gundam? The Gundam that took place during the 1 year war.
But like not the first Gundam. You're talking 0079?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
0079, that was a good one as well.
And what made that one so good, too, is that, like, you were not following a new type, or there potentially characters in that are new types, but you're following, like, just a regular squad of pilots.
Yeah.
And, like, a shitty situation.
So, and that brings a newfound appreciation for the actual Gundam figure that I've got upstairs, which is a Unicorn model. And this is my first time watching Unicorn, and I was like, oh, well, now this makes sense as to why he glows blue.
Or other colors too, potentially. How far have you gotten in Unicorn?
Oh, so he just got the glowing blue like 2 episodes ago.
Okay.
Pretty far in Unicorn, but it normally glows red.
My only lament or regret about Gundam Unicorn is that I really feel like they could have just ended the series completely with Gundam Unicorn. Like, the Universal Century timeline could have just ended with Unicorn.
Wait. So what's after UC? What is after Unicorn?
Technically, F91.
Okay.
But like F91 came out way before, like in real production timelines. We're talking F91 came out way before Unicorn. So like F91 is set so far into the future that like a lot of the events of any current UC productions or past UC productions don't really matter. It's that far ahead. But Unicorn, like, without giving away spoilers, I think Unicorn could have just been like the nail in the coffin, like the this is it, Gundam's over, you can all go home now.
I could have swore that I thought that Unicorn would have ended the Universal Century.
It kind of does in theme, but like I think there's actually a direct sequel to Gundam Unicorn now, or Unicorn Gundam. In fact, Mobile Suit Gundam NT is set in a timeline that started in the original Gundam series, making it a sequel to the Mobile Suit Gundam UC or Unicorn. That is straight off of some old article from earlier this year.
I have not heard of NT, excuse me.
I think that also shares the same name as what would have or could have been the Switch's name before that was released. The Nintendo NT. I think that's actually a thing, or was a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing, but I'm pretty sure that was back between... Was that it? That might have been the name for the Wii U, like, or the Wii. I remember it being way before the Switch that they were calling the project Nintendo NT, because I've been reading about... I remember reading about this like years and years ago.
I'm glad that the Gundam creators and Nintendo creators share prototype names.
Yeah.
Well, obviously they would. Oh, wow. There's a nice little list of everything that's in the Universal Century. Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam?
Zeta?
Zeta. Stardust Memory. Double Z. So after Unicorn, there's a Re-Unicorn, a Twilight Access, Mobile Suit Gundam Narrative.
Yeah, I think that's what NT is, I guess. NT is short for narrative.
I could see that. Mobile Suit Gundam F91, Victory Gundam, and G Savior.
Yep. Without going too far, I would say...
Because you can go very far.
I could definitely talk to you more after the podcast about like what UC Gundams you should avoid, but...
I'm probably going to avoid them all. Like, Brotherhood didn't draw me in at all. It was a little too much slowness for me, and then this one kind of started off with a little bit of a bang, so I'm like, okay, I can do this.
There's...
I forgot how brutal Gundams were.
You mean just like with characters dying and stuff, or?
Yeah.
One of the prominent creators, Toriyama, for a period of time had the nickname, not to be mistaken with Akira Toriyama, I don't remember his full name. His nickname for a while was Kill 'Em All Toriyama, because he was at, like, I don't know if he was actually in like an actual clinically depressed state, but there was like a period of a few years where he was notorious just for like killing off main characters, just kind of for the sake of killing him off. So much, in fact, that the original ending of Zeta, he ended up recreating an ending for Zeta in the movie trilogy or whatever, that, you know, they do remake movies of Gundam all the time. The creator felt so bad about the ending that he gave Zeta Gundam that he completely changes it in the remakes. Not to say it's canonical, because like the ending of Zeta in a lot of ways sets the stage for Double Z, or however the hell you pronounce Zeta. But yeah, Gundam is definitely like a pretty fucking dark series when you look at the main timeline. Anyways.
I don't know, man. One of these series is called Correct Century.
Correct Century, Jesus.
Just looking at all the different things. Correct Century, Cosmic Era. Ooh. Okay, anyway, you guys keep going. I'm going to just...
dive deeper just into the Gundam hole. Scott, what have you been up to this week?
A lot of sports, actually. I've been playing in some more like tennis tournaments, both like officially sanctioned tournaments, and then just like quick doubles bouts offered at a an indoor gym and fitness center that's around here in town. And I've joined a hockey league, and I have my first game tonight in the novice league that I'm looking forward to. So I've been spending quite a bit of time being active when I'm not making up for it by just becoming one with my couch, playing Red Dead for several hours at a time. That's about it, though. I haven't done much else exciting. Been chill with work. Been cooking some favorite staples around the house, and that's about it.
Nice.
If you've got anything new to share, I've been playing quite a bit, a few more hours of it.
Do not try to mount your horse. Do not try sprinting at your horse in a crowded area and hit triangle to mount. Because the alternative option is you may magnet to the nearest character and tackle them and assault them in the street, which will cause you to want to get on your horse even faster, repeat the same mistake, tackle another person, and then have your bounty just climb as you keep trying to get on your horse and instead keep taking down citizens in front of the police. That is a tip I can offer from my most recent play. But I'm more interested to hear how you guys are progressing in the game before I give any input.
Well, I was going to say a tip I can offer is don't try to hunt any bears with your six shooter. It doesn't work.
I mean, it does. You just spend a lot of bullets.
Are you talking about the legendary bear that you get the quest to go on that hunt for?
So after chasing that bear off, I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to go after this bear, but I'd already told the dude to go off ahead. So I was making my way back, and then I saw this dude parked, and his horse was parked, and it looked like he was hunting something. And I was like, ooh, I wonder what he's hunting. So I kind of like snuck up behind him, said, hey. And then we didn't actually like talk for a little bit, and I was tracking the thing, and he was tracking the thing. And then I was like 20 feet ahead of him, and then I hear him go, ha, I knew you were there. And then like I look back at him, I see him, he's aiming his gun past me about 100 feet up like a hill. And here's this bear that is just, he shoots the bear, and the bear gets very angry at him. And I was like,
and runs
oh.
at you.
So the bear tackled him, and the bear began to maul him. I began to shoot at the bear. The bear continued to maul him until he was dead. And then the bear turned and looked at me, and I shot at the bear again. And then the bear was like, nah, you next. So I was like, okay. So then I started sprinting towards my horse. And then I got on my horse, and then my horse, at full fucking gallop, almost got caught by this fucking bear.
I'm surprised the horse didn't kick you off.
Yeah, it can, for sure.
No, it tried. I was like, nah, you good. Tap R3. Nah, pat it. Just keep going. Then I tried to go back for his body, but the bear drug it off, so I didn't know where his gun was. Because I was like, oh, that'd be a good hunting rifle to have for later, I think. Nah. So yeah.
My experience with that quest also, it turned out better, but it was similarly full of hijinks. And that's that. My assumption was after Hosea leaves and me staying there, I would take his rifle, you know? Because that makes sense. Like, oh, you're going to hunt for it? Okay, here's my rifle. No, he doesn't. Nope. My horse is so far away, I'm just like, screw it. I'm going to make this happen with a six shooter. Track down the bear and like, I used my Red Dead eye twice at full bar, basically trying, because you know, if you go into the red or the dead eye mode, if you wait, like if you wave around the target, you'll get multiple points of shots or multiple shots off. So I just had to like pelt him full of lead, drink a red eye or a dead eye potion, and do the same thing. And
this is legendary. Pelt has holes all over it.
Was it worth it? I no, certainly not, because I can't make anything with it right now because I don't have any other pelts, but it was fine.
Yeah.
So you did kill him?
Yeah, I killed him.
Nice.
With the legendary animals, the one thing that you can note is you can shoot them as much as you want, or you can just wound them till they bleed out and you'll get their pelts either way. I've had some incidents where I've hit one with like a critical shot from an arrow, but it hasn't killed them, so they run off, but then they bleed out before they flee the area. And you're not able, like, if you can't find them, you can't collect the pelt. But when you go to the trapper already has the pelt, or the like trinket you can craft. You already have the item for crafting at the what would it be, at the black market or at the fence?
Wait,
which is really weird. So you don't actually have to, like, you can kill the animal without having to do anything to preserve the pelt. So I go semi-auto shotgunning with all my hunting anymore and just fill my like legendary creatures full of lead until they're dead and skin them. But if I wound one with, say, an arrow and it runs off and it dies and I leave the area, you still get all of the loot in your inventory. Or
what?
At the trapper. Yeah, yeah. It's so you don't lose it, essentially, because you only get one shot. They don't repopulate the legendary creature. It's gone. It's recorded in your logbook or your progress bar or whatever, and you can see that you have both the pelt and the trinket, and those then are sent directly to the trapper or the fence for you to craft with.
Cool. I get, yeah, that's like a good quality
it's
of
a
life
nice,
change.
Yeah, it's a nice quality of life change. It was a little weird at first, and now I've been just exploiting the shit out of it. I hunted a legendary moose this morning, and I thought using my... Oh, that's the other thing. You can find rare weapons in this game that are essentially already modified versions of the weapons that you can buy at the gunsmith or pick up around the world. They're indicated by like a gun marker on your mini-map. So like, for instance, I was hunting this legendary moose with a rare rolling Bock rifle that I picked up, which in your inventory is separate from the regular rolling Bock rifle, even if you fully upgrade it. It's got carvings all on the side, and it looks different. You can't customize it, which is very interesting. So there are not legendary, but unique weapons to collect in the game. But I shot this moose 6 or 7 times with my highest like damage bullet and caliber in the fucking head, and he wouldn't go down. So when it comes to hunting legendaries, I recommend just doing as much damage as you possibly can, since you don't have to worry about preserving the pelt or anything. And if you can't kill them on the first try, hit them with a poison arrow or a poison knife or something so they just die later.
So that good old Dark Souls strategy coming back around, eh?
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to, like, if you shoot the dragon's tail, you get the sword. You don't have to pick it up. Like, it is the same basic idea. If you kill it, it will just spawn in your inventory normally.
Except that doesn't
always happen in Dark Souls.
Before I forget, we got to bring up Bloodborne later, because there's something pretty interesting that I want to bring to light for you, Scott.
Okay.
Going back to
your guys' Red Dead. Retention.
Yeah, going back specifically to the weird shit that happens in that game because of controls or because of weird game design, I had a very strange experience going into one of the saloons. And this is after I had found out that one of the easiest ways to get like small incremental amounts of honor is to just be a friendly guy. Go around saying hi to people, right?
Hey, so, mister.
Hey, I won't take you. Have a good one. Howdy.
Can I just hold you for a minute, mister?
God, okay, that was a fun little scene, I guess. And then he follows you around, and I'm thinking to myself, is this my biggest fan moment from Oblivion? Do I need to shoot an arrow up in the air and wait for it to strike him in the head? No. So I go into a saloon, and I'm saying hi to everyone, and I go upstairs to where the working ladies are, and I'm continuing to say hi to everyone, get that incremental honor up. And at some point, some guy is like, mad at me and tells me to like get away from here. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'm moving away as I say hi
you
to diffused. Other people. He suddenly like tackles me from behind and starts beating me in the back of my head. And don't get me wrong. I'm not fighting back at this point. I'm just blocking and trying to run. But all of his goon friends upstairs continue to start beating my ass. So I try like using the square button to jump over railings and stuff like in an old GTA matter, which doesn't work as well in this game.
No.
And by the time I get to the stairs, you know, wiggling and weaving around people, tackling them, and then just walking away afterwards, there's like some trapper guy at one of the tables that proceeds to start beating my ass too. That's it, basically in like a ghillie suit. So at some point here, the guns start coming out, and I don't know why they do, because I have not taken out my gun. I know what that magic L1 button and R2 button do, so I just don't touch them in town. So I manage
to
escape.
Very good idea.
I jump on my horse, and as I'm fleeing with gunshots behind me, by the way, my hat is long gone at this point, which is sad because I've been able to keep it on my, like, keep it on or pick it back up for a long time afterwards. I get on my horse and start fleeing from Sweetwater, but in the process, I run over some guy that, like, you know, happens to cross my path in the carnage. Bam. I'm wanted for murder. I just don't understand how I'm at fault when some other goons start trying to gun me down and I'm just trying to run away with my life intact.
Hey, man, you're either going to be wanted for murder or you're going to just have a nice loading screen. You got to choose.
As in a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the tricky part about this game for sure, is trying to manage exactly what qualifies as an act that gets you busted or wanted. And when you're able to, I'd say, operate within the gray that allows you to, say, commit violence to other people or loot bodies without being pegged by the, like, bad guy system or having a witness think that it's wrong. Like, if Lemoyne Raiders are attacking you, which if you haven't encountered them, you will. They're bitter, like, Confederates who have been unsuccessful in their secession, so they just bully people in the South area. For the most part, I've found if they harass you and they start the violence, you can kill them, you can beat the shit out of them, you can loot them, and nobody seems to care. But if it's just some, like, punks around town that are starting fights with you, you could actually get penalized for fighting back, even if you try and defuse and escape the situation. So it's really hard to determine, like, what gets you on the wanted list, what actually brings up your bounty.
It's almost like this game would benefit a lot from small little mods that people could make if it were on PC. Oh, wait.
That it might be. Sometime in the future. I see it happening.
Another, like, weird incident I reached was I found a group of, like, the best way to describe them is men that would otherwise be naked if not for their overalls. Kind of looked like they came from, oh God, what is that dueling banjo song from that movie? Yeah, I can't think of the movie though. But anyway,
Deliverance.
Yeah, like a bunch of people that came from Deliverance basically have their own gang, and I came across a camp that they had raided and murdered the inhabitants of, and so
they have, like, weirdly deformed heads and faces too.
Yes.
Yeah, they're ugly country bumpkins.
Yeah, they are definitely each other's fathers, brothers, and children, most likely. So I dispatch of them just because, you know, hey, they shot up this family, this couple. So I make quick work of them. And also, it's kind of suggested from a gameplay standpoint because it's
that
one of their camps or something.
You need to clean the gene pool. Yeah.
Yep. So I kill them and their buddies and then proceed to loot them. And I'm getting penalized from looting them.
Yeah.
So it is, like, the best practice, because take note, like, you pick up their ammo not as part of the looting process. So maybe it's just
separate.
You are never supposed to loot anyone in this game.
I loot, if anybody attacks me, I loot their bodies and I don't take a penalty. But did they attack you? Or?
I attacked them, but that's also because
I think that's why. So if you're attacked and you kill and loot the enemy units that have attacked you, assuming they're not lawmen or like general citizens, like assuming they're a gang faction, you can loot them without consequence. But everybody else seems to have a penalty. You also can't loot people that have been killed by other gangs. Like if you happen upon a late stagecoach robbery and the people have already been killed, if you kill the stagecoach robbers and loot them, it's fine. But if you loot the people that they were going to loot, you take a penalty.
I don't understand.
It doesn't make much sense.
A lot of the honor system is built around what people witness you do and, like, good deeds you bring to people that then, I'm assuming, can tell other people of your you know, actions.
Yes.
And so what difference does it make if you're in a forest with no one around and you loot some guy that just died to a wolf attack? Which, by the way, that was an interesting scene in itself. Yeah, like I witnessed a wolf mauling this guy, and I kill the wolf, but apparently not in time to save him. And I have the ability to offer him whiskey or a healing potion.
Yeah, but he's dead.
Yeah, I offer him the healing potion. He's like, that ain't gonna fucking work. I'm bleeding out.
and
so at that point in time, I paused for a second and thought to myself, this game is much more of a cowboy simulator than it is a rock star action game, in my opinion, right?
Agreed. Mm-hmm. I'd agree. That's why I like it better.
The game tells me that after getting shot multiple times or getting mauled by a bear, that I'm capable of healing these mortal wounds by using a healing potion.
On you.
Yet, apparently, this guy, this stranger, it does not do the same thing to. Don't get me wrong. I'm fine with that design decision, but it just struck me as somewhat odd that I could not save the person using the same tools I saved myself with multiple times.
Sometimes it works. It may honestly be like you got to the attack, because I've had the same random encounter occur, and I have been able to save them with medicine. Where they're being attacked by a wolf, I shoot the wolves from a distance so they don't get much time on him, and then I offer him medicine and he's fine. The alternative is, yeah, you offer them whiskey and they're happy about it and they die a little bit later normally.
Why can't you offer both? Is Arthur Morgan, I'm going to need one of these things later.
I think the best choice is the whiskey, then loot the body. Hopefully you don't take a penalty for it. I'm not sure. Look, if you ever want to increase your, or if you ever want to improve your good cowboy, you just got to find some clan members out in the forest and just have a heyday. Yep. I don't know if you've bumped into any clansmen yet. I have thrown a fire bottle into a crowd of them and then like hogtied and tossed their leader across train tracks. I've also seen some that were trying to put up a cross to burn and it fell on two of them and killed them.
Nice.
So I knifed the third one in the neck. You will always get positive cowboy points for killing Southern racists, so just
going
a little, yeah, just going a little vigilante spree. I mean, Rockstar is really not pulling their punches making fun of racists, but you know, I think that's fine.
Yeah,
especially if they're going to reward you points for it. Maybe they will instill in an Inception style thing that being a white supremacist is a bad thing in some gamers who play it. They're like, oh, he's nobody likes these clan guys.
I don't really have any additional experiences to talk about. The game's fun.
Okay.
Could just do it full time.
Yeah, it's a great, great game. Watch out for cougars, please. If your horse is startled by something, like by a red dot that appears on your screen and you're in a rocky area, look out for cougars, because that fucker will just pull you off your horse and eat you alive.
I don't know if you're putting women over the age of 40 in a positive light right now, Scott.
Oh, you also have to watch out for those cougars, too. It's normally 50 cents to upgrade your bath, and then they'll give you a little washing in conversation.
Yeah, I upgraded my bath, and I was just out of the curiosity of it. Like, what the fuck is a deluxe bath?
I think me too.
It doesn't seem to do anything, right?
I think it's the substitute for like going to a strip club in GTA, except it's more in line with our Protestant values. I couldn't think of what to say. Our puritanical spirit as cowboys.
Arthur Morgan seems like a good man deep inside who regrets his actions growing up.
My favorite thing, honestly, about those special baths is if you go to have conversation with them, most of them just seem like fucking annoyed that you're trying to talk to them. I like being the cowboy who's like, hey, I want to have a chat with you. And they're like, shut up, I'm scrubbing your balls.
Almost near died twice this week.
Yeah.
So my one thing I want to add is I do like just the random songs that everyone sings.
Yeah.
So like if you're on a long trip just by yourself, you'll start singing to yourself to pass the time, or you're sitting at camp and one of the ladies is at the fire and she'll just start singing randomly. Like that's a nice touch, because you know what else are you gonna do?
And there's that option to sing along too, which is cool.
Ooh.
Oh, I never got that option yet. My Arthur Morgan's a quiet man.
You can pull L2 and then I think square, and oftentimes Arthur will sing along then. Spending time around camp is actually pretty rewarding. Like, it's a relatively entertaining experience.
If only people contributed their worth at the camp, just like you. Jesus.
Have you guys actually found any of the special request items that people are looking for? Because there are some that it's like, I don't know where to find them at all. I see them out in the world, but I can't pick them up. Like a tobacco pipe for Dutch or Jose or whatever. They
Dutch
want
can suck
one.
It.
And I've seen plenty, but I can't pick them up. And then there's other items that it's like, I don't sell anything that seems like it's a unique item to the fence. I have a chunk of meteorite, for instance, that if you haven't found the location where you get that, it's very interesting. It's up in the Grizzlies. Or like a really interesting necklace. These things I would recommend not selling because someone's going to ask for it sooner or later, and it's better you give it to them and get the like reward and ingratiate yourself with the good cowboy points versus getting $10 to $15 for the item.
Hmm. I'll keep that in mind. Yes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So just going to really quickly ask, is there any way you can just accidentally screw up the story by killing someone like Dutch, or is that a game over?
It's a game over as far as I know.
I would imagine would also just be a game over, because anytime they die during a mission, it's also a game over.
And that's what I'm working off of too. It's like if one of your buddies dies during a mission, that's your game over.
Because they're like, man, I just feel like
there's some guys you want to kill real bad.
And no, only one person. And it like
I know
it probably
who you're
doesn't help
too.
That Red Dead Redemption 1. Like that game probably doesn't help it. But like even if you hadn't played Red Dead Redemption 1, I feel like there's only so much Dutch you can take before you're just like, dude, this guy just we would be much better off if he was not with us anymore.
Dutch is the guy that you want dead?
Yeah. Why? Did you think it was Marston?
No, John Marston is John Marston is actually a relatively enjoyable character the further and further you get into the story. Now that I know that he's the main character in Red Dead, like it makes sense that they have his little like swan song throughout this prequel. Mm-hmm. It's the blonde asshole who is gone for a while. I can't remember his name. It's not Kieran, but that guy. I want to shoot that guy in the face every single time I'm on a mission with him.
I haven't gotten far enough with the story to know what he does. But yeah, Dutch, again, it's the prior knowledge, but Dutch just does not seem like a person looking out for anyone but himself.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. Other games, though. What have you guys been playing aside from Red Dead 2? RDR 2?
Burly Minutes, see.
Is that title of the game?
Yeah. It's a it's very artsy. I think it's called Burly Minutes, see? Yeah. Burly Minutes, see. It's very artsy looking. And it's got a unique style, I guess is the best way to put it. So like when you're first getting along, it's just kind of you're just standing there with these three beautiful beards, these three big dudes. They're just called like the Brave Brother are the Calm Brother, the Stoic Brother. But it's a story that's all about adventure, apparently. And like it's got this weird, really weird thing because you're only your left joystick instead of being like it's a move joystick to go left or right. It's literally just a cursor. So if you want to go left or right, it doesn't tell you this, but this is what you have to do. You pull either the left or right trigger or hit L and R to like pan the screen over to reveal more of the scene. And as more of the scene is going, before the burly men actually get out of the shot, they start walking in that direction. It's really nifty. Like you'll walk into a store, you'll walk into a building, and you'll just kind of see what's there in that first little area. Then if you hit one of the triggers to like expand the storefront, then you'll see, oh, this is a coffee shop and there's a barista right there. Let's go talk to him.
And it's
really weird.
Is it a point and click adventure then?
Yes.
Okay.
Where apparently your decisions can change the outcome of what happens to the Burly Men at Sea. So far, I haven't gotten that far. I just got to town, found out that there's an adventure afoot. I set sail and got eaten by a whale, and I punched it in the jugular so far. That's about it.
So it's kind of like you're playing a tall tale.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's interesting. I wonder if it's the type of game that they want you to replay for different endings, or if it's kind of a one-and-done experience, or so they recommend.
I'm not 100% sure. I do know that it is currently free for PlayStation Plus members, and that is the only reason I'm playing it. Looks like it is $10 on Steam.
The art style is really cool. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the beards. The beards are just, they're all like literally the same little thing, but just different colors.
And their beards match their shoes, which is very fun. Well, that's about, I mean, I haven't played any other games. I shared Deltarune with my sister and she played it. But there's, like, both of us playing it, I don't think we were able to eke out any more, like, details or interesting tidbits than you and I.
Did she enjoy the Fluffy Boys?
The power, Fluffy Boys?
The power of the Fluffy Boys, I think, was the direct line from Deltarune.
Yeah. I did see something that was all of the Deltarune anagrams that were possible, which was very fun. Deltarune, Undertale. What else was there? There were others. Rude something.
Rude Boys?
Not Rude Boys. Man, I can't find... there was a tweet that I saw.
While you're looking that up, I want to bring a theoretical or hypothetical to you, Scott.
Okay.
You know, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Bloodborne, From Software, Miyazaki in particular, his storytelling is, one could say, very interesting, unique. Now, what if you could put that inside of a VR game that had no combat and instead followed you as a fairy helping boys and girls, little boys and girls at a boarding school of some sort, an orphanage school?
Why are you using that voice?
Yeah, that's horrible.
What do you speak of?
I hate that.
I don't know. What I'm describing is Deracine, I think is how you pronounce it. It's a French word, if I'm not mistaken. It is a, we were teased this back at last
E3. We talked about this a little bit, yeah.
So this actually came out just recently, and I'll note that I would normally immediately go to play it, but because it's PlayStation VR only, I don't have the ability to. So I've been watching some streams of it, or a stream of it. And this game is pretty interesting. From the get-go, you play as a fairy, and basically what you do in the first few chapters of it is you're basically proving your existence to these kids at this orphanage/church/school. The peculiar thing is that I have, as I'm going through, there are these instances where I'm like, is this fucking Bloodborne? One of the things that hits you is, or at least hit me like a gut punch, is that when you pick up this little doll, the doll is in the,
Moon pose.
Yeah.
Or and, contact. It's contact.
Yeah, first contact pose. And the doll,
which
as
is
you're
a right
holding
angle
it,
for our listeners, like one arm up, one arm to the side.
Like
and
an
then
L
if
shape.
You wait for a, yeah. And if you wait for a minute in Bloodborne, this animation slowly shifts to essentially create a mirrored right angle for it.
So,
and it's something that you use to interact with the the great ones in the game.
What is this game called?
It's called Deracine.
Yeah, Deracine. Deracine. Accent aigu over the both E's.
Aigu? Both E's, yeah. Aigu, that's right.
Oh, okay, so, this game. I've been looking at this.
So, like, I haven't been able to watch all the way through, and part of me was really contemplating going out getting the PlayStation VR just to play this after getting to that point in the game. But there are, like, multiple things that make me really feel like maybe there's some maybe there's some Bloodborne in this game, actually. Is this a prequel? Is this going to teach us about the Hunter's Dream? I don't fucking know. But it seems pretty interesting, to say the least. I would say, like, since I doubt you're going to get a PlayStation VR just for the sake of one experience, you should check out a stream or a playthrough of it. I think it might interest you.
Neil.
Yeah. I know you have.
Would you like to buy a PlayStation VR for this one experience?
So we might talk about that. I was gonna check out some of the Black Friday bundles that are coming out, because I might be able to get like the newer hardware with the HDR pass through if I do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess they do have the HDR pass through now.
But I was also thinking maybe I could just get a PS4 Pro. I've been curious about what benefit I could get with having two PlayStation 4s, like having one downstairs and one in Tiffany's room. Anyways, though, seems like a pretty interesting game, and I have a feeling that like the narrative, which so far has been fairly lighthearted, is going to become dark because Bloodborne and Dark Souls, you know? Shit gets
real.
And
the picture of the flower slowly wilting.
Well, so that's also... That particular picture shows essentially one of the mechanics in the game, that you as a fairy are able to transfer life or the time of one's life into another object. So one of the first things you do is you take an offering of these grapes, I think, like, you know, fully live ripe grapes, and you drain its life and you put the life into the wilted flower. And that helps prove your existence to one of the characters. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be hyped if there's like actually more tie-ins to Bloodborne, because it certainly seems like the point at which the contact pose is made is at a point where maybe something supernatural, aside from yourself being a fairy, could be going on. But maybe this is just also a bunch of Easter eggs that they're just trying to tease out and say, hey, remember Bloodborne? We did that too. That aside, just a quick mention, I also started playing a game called CrossCode. It kind of reminds me of Enter the Gungeon very, very vaguely, in that you control a character with, you know, your up, down, left, right, or WASD keys, and then you use your mouse to shoot. The difference, though, is that you also are encouraged to do a lot of melee. Melee attacks deal a lot more damage, and you do that simply by moving your cursor closer to your character. But the game itself, from a narrative standpoint, is that you are playing as an amnesiac that is inside of like the most elaborate MMO you could think of. Whereas... like in MMOs, it's usually about entering like a virtual world, if you will. But this is far enough into the future where that, like, basically a moon in a distant galaxy has been commissioned to be a giant playground. So you, as a player in this game, actually load your consciousness into like an elaborate android or doll that then gets to wreak havoc on this island. Nice. I have no idea where the story's going at this point. I don't know if it'll be the strong part of this game, but from the combat I've been facing so far, I have a feeling this game's going to go slightly towards that bullet hell type play, but also include things like, you know, quote unquote invincibility rolls or frames from dodges or rolls.
How much gameplay time have you had? Given you this
without checking Steam right now, I would guess maybe three or four hours, but I still consider myself to be like in the intro chapter area, where like the combat's pretty easy just as I get used to all of the controls and stuff.
Oh, okay. So there's actually quite a bit of content to this game, potentially.
I'm guessing, at least. Who knows? It could be I get through the quote-unquote tutorial area and there's only, you know, 10 hours left or 5 hours left.
And you realize it's a bullet heck game.
Ooh, good old Toho for you. No, but seems interesting. I'll report back on it more. But like from a gameplay standpoint, I'm pretty excited because aside from the artwork, kind of making it like reminds me a bit of like, I was gonna say kind of like Chrono Trigger, in terms of how you have like a lot of like futuristic enemies that are elaborately done and has, you know, like pretty solid pixel art. I'm also kind of reminding myself that aside from a few key bosses, Chrono Trigger's pixel art wasn't necessarily the best when it came to enemies. But the whole idea of hypermobility along with like mouse gun action or melee action seems pretty fun so far. Maybe the big thing to highlight, though, is that there is grinding, or it seems to be a pretty prominent thing. So that part seems to be true with its whole comparison to being an offline MMO, if that makes sense. And the writing's pretty cute so far. Anywho, that does it, I guess, for video games, unless you guys have any others.
That's all I got, man. I've just been living it up as a cowboy.
I've been playing Call of Duty, but you guys know where that's going.
Zombies. Are you playing that or the Fortnite, the Battle Royale mode?
So actually, I've been mostly playing the multiplayer mode, and I realized why today. So as fun as the Battle Royale mode is, I'm not really working to progress towards anything. It's kind of like to unlock like one of the characters, you have to find an item. And it's like, well, it's 50-50 whether or not this item drops in this thing, so I can't like actively just progress towards it. So I've actually just been mainly playing the multiplayer mode because I know, hey, I want to get gold camo for this gun. I need to do this so I can actively work towards it purposely, not, oh, I just happened to grab this item, so I guess I'm going to do this mission now. Cool.
Yeah, grinding for drops sucks. It's never fun.
Yeah, so we do enjoy the Fortnite mode. The zombies has really evolved into, they've just got a shit ton of different kinds of things you can play with it. But yeah, mainly just living that life of regular old multiplayer. Still love it. Because I don't care. Oh, it's a song, sorry. It's in my head. You know that. I crashed my car into the bridge and I let it go. It doesn't matter.
Scott
anyway.
And I are both shaking our heads. We don't
completely,
know.
Completely unaware of what this song is.
Hey, it took me 8 years to get into K-pop or start listening to K-pop, so I'm sure in 5 years from now I will know the song that you're referring to.
It's English. It's an American pop song that was out in 2011-ish.
Were you guys aware that Come On Eileen is a play on words?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're dirty. Like, that's literally a lyric in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just found that out yesterday.
as you were singing that to your mom.
Really changes the song, yeah.
Okay.
Comments, questions, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com.
Don't be afraid to tell friends about us and our wacky, wacky antics and ramblings.
And also, if your friend just happens to be a review site on the internet, tell them by submitting the number of stars you think we are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you can rate and find our podcast at.
Bye.
Find us on Twitch. Peace.
Yeehaw.